2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Sounded.
That'll do it.
And it's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show with your hosts, Jake Scott and the coach, Tim Lacoe.
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, coach Tim Lacoe. Jazz ball tonight to the Blazers, 127 to 115. We'll get you downstairs to hear from Coach Hardy coming up momentarily. Jazz got 40 points, his third 40-point game of the year from Lauri Markkanen. 14 of 23 shooting, 4 of 12 from 3. He also had 12 rebounds, but did not get a ton from the rest of the squad tonight, Coach. And Portland, their whole team played well for the most part. Let's see, 4 out of their 5 starters had at least 20 points, led by Lillard, who had 30. Sharp had 24. Watford had 21, and Nurkic with 20, not to mention Knox with 10 coming in off the bench and Reddish with 11. So Portland obviously played their best game that they've played in a while, breaking a 6-game losing streak. But the Jazz got a great game from Lowry, and everybody else struggled a little bit.
Yeah, I thought that, like Ron and David said, I thought Portland really came prepared for the zone. And the Jazz had great success with the zone and really were able to have, you know, a great amount of energy in it. But that tonight, I thought Portland countered that with really good preparation.
Let's go downstairs and hear from Jazz head coach Will Hardy.
We did not do a good enough job protecting the basket. They had 62 points in the paint. I understand some of those are floaters, but not as many as you think. We just didn't do a very good job keeping the ball out of the middle of the court. You know, whether we're in man, zone, a lot of the concepts are trying to take away that pass to the nail. And I just thought we were late the whole night trying to keep the ball from getting there. We looked a step slow kind of on everything defensively tonight. And they made some timely threes. They shot 31, 32% from three. So they made some timely threes, which didn't feel good, but I think in some ways, you know, we overreacted to those and got too spread out. You know, a formula for us defensively the last couple of games has been trying to really eliminate the basket as a team, have the other team take a lot of hard contested threes with hands coming at them late, and I just don't think we did a very good job protecting the basket. And then obviously on the offensive end, 17 turnovers. You know, we talked pregame about our offense had taken a jump, and a large part of that was we took care of the ball, and tonight we didn't. Decisions were made late, just sloppy passing. Our spacing was just okay, but, you know, this is the NBA. Like, there's nights where your team can be kind of a step behind, a step slow. We went to some different lineups to see if we could find a spark, but you know, we were just a little bit late defensively, and so not protecting the basket, getting in the bonus early. You know, Dame ends up shooting 14 free throws because of it. That's a recipe to lose a game. So, you know, we'll go back and look at the film as a team and try to figure out ways we can improve defensively in particular, trying to maintain that focus on protecting the basket. And offensively, you know, continuing to just hammer home the points about our spacing and our decision making. Like, we have to get off the ball early. We had way too many late passes tonight. you know, and if you have 17 turnovers in an NBA game, it's hard to win.
When Kalen picked up his fourth foul, like in the second quarter, you went to Ochai as like kind of the de facto point guard for a few minutes. What did you think of that stretch of play and then his performance there?
I thought that stretch was fine. It was only, you know, 2 minutes maybe, but, you know, they haven't shown a ton of, like, full court pressure picking up the point guard, and just felt at that time putting a little bit of a bigger lineup out there. Chris had played a good amount in the first half already, so Ochai bringing the ball up and getting us into to kind of our open spacing and getting the ball moving for us, I thought he did a good job. You know, obviously when that lineup's out there, we have tremendous size on the court. You know, I'm not sure that's something that we're going to go to a ton in the future, but, you know, it's definitely something that we've thought about a little bit, depending on who we're playing. If teams aren't really going to pressure the point guard much, you can use Ochai to initiate offense. There's even a world where you could have Kelly bring the ball up the floor if he's guarded by a big. So that's all stuff that we're thinking about. You know, while Collin's out with Chris and Talen on the roster, you know, last game we had some foul trouble as well where we got a little bit lucky that neither of them kind of went over the line, that both of them didn't go over the line. We were able to survive, but there could be moments where they're both in foul trouble and we're going to have to do something different.
I know that he finished the game, but there were several times where, you know, Lowry was, you know, rubbing his wrist or kind of flexing his hand, flexing the wrist. Is it worse for wear after tonight, or is it something that you guys have to kind of gouge over the next few hours or days?
Yeah, we'll have him looked at by our medical team. Like anything, you know, they talked to him during the game, and he said he was okay. But when your body cools down and he wakes up tomorrow, it could be a different story. But, you know, Lowry takes a beating. He plays a physical game. Took a couple hard falls. At this point in the season, I think any top player in the league is beat up. They're all beat up at this point. It's a physical sport, and we've played a bunch of games now, 72 of them. So he'll get looked at tomorrow, and it'll be a day-to-day thing, you know, just kind of monitoring his body. But in the game, he was holding it, but he said he was okay and wanted to keep going and see if we made a little run there. But, again, we'll know way more tomorrow.
Did you feel like Kelly was playing passably on the offensive end tonight, or maybe that he passed up looks that you wanted him to go for?
Yeah, I don't think that Kelly really plays – I get your point. I don't think that Kelly really plays passive,
yeah.
But there are moments where he has rhythm – threes that he can take. When he ball fakes and they don't go for it, their defense kind of settles back down and we've lost the advantage. So, we have a lot of trust in Kelly. I have a lot of trust in Kelly and his decision making. I would say he's made far more good decisions this season than bad. And tonight was just a night where, you know, they did a good job staying down on his shot fake, and it ended up being a tough night to kind of get some rhythm because of that for him. But, you know, I believe in Kelly's shooting. I think he's a good shooter. And when he does have open rhythm ones like anybody on our team, you know, we encourage you to take him because over the course of 24 seconds, you know, that shot clock is pretty short and there usually aren't two great shots that you can find in 24 seconds. If you get a great one, you got to take it.
About cutting the ball off from that middle pass, is it about the guys kind of doubling or Dame or kind of sending the help, or is it about the three other guys on the backside?
It's the three other people.
Okay.
We need to do a better job of making the ball go out to the perimeter when we double team. That gives your defense a chance to kind of build out from the basket again. When the ball gets into the middle of the court, it's hard. You know, you have Nurkic playing one-on-one in a small space. You also allow their cutters to really be free on the weak side because now you have two defenders that are completely out of the play. If the ball gets passed to the perimeter, those guys have a chance to get back in on the weak side. So it's something we've been working on a lot. I thought we did a much better job of it against Boston. we didn't double team quite as much against Sacramento, and so it wasn't as much of an emphasis in that game, you know, putting two on the ball. But it's something we worked on yesterday in practice and this morning. And, you know, credit to Portland. Like, they did a good job. Dame did a great job of getting off the ball quickly. Like, when I talk about decision-making with our team, like, getting off it early like he did puts the defense in a tough spot. So, you know, he gets a lot of credit for making those early plays to get the ball into the middle of the floor.
Going a little bigger picture, Chris Dunn's shooting numbers are way up from what he'd done in the NBA. Can you explain why that is and how sustainable that might or might not be?
Yeah, Chris has worked very hard on his shooting. I think one thing that I love about Chris in particular from the three-point line, like, he takes obvious ones. He takes good ones. Anybody that wants their shooting percentage to go up, my recommendation would be shoot good shots. And Chris has done a good job of, you know, attacking the paint, not settling for threes. But when he does get ones off of rotation, swing, and he's open, like, he's on balance, and he's done a really good job working on his three. How sustainable is it? That's a great question. I would say that Chris is for sure a better shooter now than he was before. Is he a 43% three-point shooter? That remains to be seen. But I think if he continues to take the quality of three that he's taking now, I've been around Chris now for a little bit, and, like, when he gets his feet set and he's in rhythm, I believe in it. I'm not sure that he's ever going to be a guy that's, like, flying around off screens, shooting pressured threes, but when he's open and has his feet set, I believe in him.
Good.
Thank you. Thanks,
guys. All right, there you go. That is Jazz head coach Will Hardy as the Jazz come up a little bit short against the Blazers tonight, 127-115. He talked about Coach Combs, Lowry Marketing getting banged up a little bit, took a hard flagrant foul in the fourth quarter, still finished the game, shot the free throws. But, you know, yeah, they're going to be cautious with his health, I think, to close out this year.
Well, yeah, it'd be smart. He had a couple hard falls tonight, and if that's not a flagrant two, I don't know what is, because he was airborne, guy, you know, just grabbed him.
So. Seemed like a dangerous play.
Yeah, but I have not been right. Sakakis and I don't see eye to eye.
Yeah.
I got my issues with Sakakis.
All right, the Jazz lose tonight to the Blazers, 127-115. With that, we will say good night to our network stations. Our next broadcast is coming your way on Friday night. And the Milwaukee Bucks will be in town. Giannis, the Greek Freak, that game will tip off at 7 o'clock. For those of you sticking around with us, we'll have some more post-game sound for you, and we'll continue to get Coach Lacombe's thoughts on this one next. You're listening to
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Utah Jazz basketball.
The final horn has sounded.
That'll do it.
And it's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show with your hosts, Jake Scott and the coach, Tim Lacombe.
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, Coach Tim Lacombe. Postgame is brought to you by our friends at Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at markmillersubaru.com. Jazz fall tonight to the Blazers, 127-115. We'll get you some sound from the players coming up here shortly when they are made available. But the Jazz got 40 points from Lowry Markkanen tonight, his third game this year, with at least 40 points. He had 12 boards, 3 assists. But from there, he needed a little help. The Jazz got 12 from Kelly Olynyk, 11 from Talen Horton-Tucker, And a nice game from Chris Dunn, again, coming in off the bench with 15. But they did not get the performance they got from Ochai the other night. Walker Kessler did not have his best game, and they didn't have enough for the Blazers.
No, they didn't. It was, again, credit the Blazers. They played well. They shot the ball well. They did what they had to do. You know, you see, and Coach Hardy alluded to this, but if Dame's going to get the line 14 times, you're going to have a hard time because he's really forcing the issue. He's only 2 for 10 from three, but he kind of made up for that getting to the line and got his 30. They got a really good effort. I think obviously their backs are against the wall, with the playoffs as well. So it was one that's a little bit surprising, but I totally agree with you. Lowry was fabulous. Only missed 9 shots tonight to get 40. He continues to be just the picture of efficiency.
Pretty special. Not only that, but let's get to the Master of the Glass tonight, brought to you by Safe Flight Auto Glass. Proud to present this year's Master of the Glass Rebound Program. At the end of the regular season, Safe Flight will donate $5 to a charitable organization for each rebound secured by this year's team rebound leader. Tonight's Master of the Glass, Lowry Markkanen. With 12 rebounds, the Jazz as a team actually out-rebounded Portland 47-43, but both teams only had 7 offensive rebounds, and the Jazz turned the ball over 17 times. So, as Coach Hardy said, that's probably not a recipe for a win.
No, and that's something we've seen this year. Turnovers have been an issue from time to time. They gave up 17 points off those turnovers, and then when everything else isn't going well, you're not really forcing the issue on the glass and making all the hustle plays. Everything just kind of falls in. And that's what happened tonight. The Jazz just a step slow, really. Their energy was just a little bit down.
Jazz shot 47.5% from the field. They were 11 of 35 from 3, 31%. On the other side, the Blazers, 48% from the field. They were 13 of 41, 32% from 3. So not a whole lot different. Other than the Blazers did have 11 more attempts from the field than the Jazz did, and that could be a big part of the problem.
Yeah, and the Jazz out-rebound the Trailblazers only by 4, and you would think that the way the Jazz have been rebounding the basketball, particularly Walker with only 5 rebounds in 25 minutes or 24 minutes tonight, that's a little bit of an outlier.
Was that an energy thing, or was that something Portland was doing? Because he just wasn't all that effective tonight.
I felt like he was a little bit tired from the beginning. Looked good in warm-ups. I went down and saw a little bit early, but during the game, just watching him typically, sprinting out in front of everybody, he just seemed to not have that high gear.
And, fatigue. It could absolutely be a thing coming down the stretch. You and I have talked about this quite a bit, but you obviously coming from the college coaching world, the rookie wall is a thing because these guys haven't played anywhere near this many games, not even close.
Yeah, and he hit that wall, but I'm telling you, it's also, we got to remember he's a rookie,
right?
Both he and Ochai, and nights like this happen for rookies. You have nights where you really make a lot of shots and the ball bounces to you. And nights like tonight where it doesn't. And I think we've seen more often than not that these guys are really stellar rookies, and this is a little bit more of an outlier.
Ochai tonight, 7 points, 2 of 7 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. Again, I mean, 2 of 7, I suppose, is an ideal shooting from the field, but those aren't dreadful numbers. It just felt like he didn't have the juice that he had the other night against Sacramento.
Yeah, and only 4 Jazz players total in double figures, so shooting the ball was a little bit tricky tonight. 31 from the field, missed 10 free throws. So left some things out there for sure. But it's, coming off those 2 games and after having some time off, perhaps a little bit of an energy issue, they'll have to figure it out quick. And they got an opportunity to get out on the, to get the Milwaukee Bucks here and then get out on the road.
Want to remind you about the Utah Jazz Most Valuable Educators, presented by Instructure, the makers of Canvas. Throughout the season, the Jazz and Instructure will recognize 14 MVEs. Each one will receive a visit from Jazz Bear, $1,000 grant, a personalized jersey, and tickets to see a Jazz game in a suite. Go to utahjazz.com/MVE to nominate your favorite educator right now. Looking over at Jamil, we're still waiting on players from the podium in the locker room. So with that, we'll take a short break here and hopefully have plenty of player sound for you coming up on the other side. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own at MySubaruIs.com. Jazz lose tonight, 127 to 115. More straight ahead. You're listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Running hook, blocked it. The final box score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh, my!
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, coach Tim Lacombe. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share MarkMillerSubaru.com. Jazz come up short tonight against the Blazers, 127 to 115. Damian Lillard tonight led the way for the Blazers with 30 points. He had 12 assists, 7 rebounds, 8 of 19 shooting, 2 of 10 from 3, 12 of 14 from the free throw line. Dame only had 2 turnovers tonight. The Blazers. Excuse me. Swallowing down the wrong way over here, coach. 24 points from Sharp tonight. 9 rebounds for him and 3 assists. 21 for Watford, 20 from Yusuf Nurkic, and then they got 11 from Reddish and 10 from Knox coming in off the bench. But, a very balanced performance from the Blazers tonight. I'm sure Damian Lillard is feeling better about tonight's game because he definitely has been frustrated during the 6-game losing streak for the Blazers and not getting a whole lot of help. Well, he got some help tonight. He had a bunch of guys play well.
And it wasn't, it was a little bit of everything. As we said, they did not shoot the ball well from three. Dame was only 2 for 10. But really, I think the difference in this game was the number of kind of confusion, defense, mix-ups that led to easy baskets. And there were just a handful of them, really. But the Jazz, for the first time really in that zone, got turned around a little bit, and the rules got twisted. I think Portland came in prepared. You look at the box score and you say Dame only goes 2 for 10 from three. You think you had a pretty good chance, but it was everybody else. They have, all three other starters in double figures outside of Dame. You get 24 from Sharp, or like really good stuff.
Really good stuff. I'm surprised. I tried to articulate this during the pregame show, but it feels to me like the Blazers, hey, maybe they're not contenders for the title, but they've got more talent than 31 and 40. I mean, and they were missing some key guys tonight. Anthony Simons is a great player. Jeremy Grant is a great player. I think you and I both like that acquisition for them in the offseason. You look at some of these other guys. Sharp has a ton of potential. Nurkic is not a bad player, obviously. Watford played well tonight. I mean, it feels to me like they are a better team. A much better team than what they've shown this year.
Totally agree. But I think we've said that, if I can remember right, for a couple of years in a row.
It does feel like that.
So, again, I think tonight, they were able to get enough stops with the Jazz and outscore them. And the Jazz really shored up. Like, the rim was a problem in the first half. The Jazz, I believe they gave up 17 shots at the rim. Only one really a main mix-up in the second half. But the Jazz, like I said, that Portland came in and they had a couple different things that worked against that zone. It got the Jazz on their heels and, they were playing catch up the rest of the night and got there. I mean, they got all the way back and then couldn't get over the hump.
No. And credit Portland for fighting it off. This is an NBA game after all. Your big leads at the half rarely stand for the entire second half, and Portland was able to stretch it back out to get a 12-point lead. But I actually don't think the final score was really indicative. This game was a lot closer than 127 to 115, in my opinion, even though before that the lead was at 15 earlier in the game. I thought the Jazz made Portland sweat a little bit more than maybe the final score would indicate.
Yeah, for sure. They came back and took the lead, right? Got a 1-point lead, and then Portland went back on a big run, really get up back 10, and then the Jazz just didn't have enough in the tank.
Yeah, I keep getting back to it's just the margin for error, especially now after the trade deadline and battling injuries for the Jazz. They just need the whole team to play well to get wins, even against a team like the Blazers, who are struggling. And
I've made this comparison a few times tonight, but against Sacramento, everybody played well. There wasn't a player on the roster that we looked at and said, oh, he had a subpar game. Doak had the best game of his career. Ochai had the best game of his career.
Fontecchio
was great. Walker was dominant. Not the case tonight. Markkanen was dominant. There's no doubt. You can't 40-12. The man had a good game. But, I mean, even Kelly Olynyk, you look at his box and you say, okay, 12-10, that's not bad for Kelly. Maybe you have to ignore the 5 turnovers. That's not really a great number. But he was missing for 3/4 of this game. He facilitated and played a little bit better in the 4th quarter, but it was not nearly as good a game as he played against Sacramento, where he was just phenomenal. You know, Talen Horton-Tucker with 11, but Ochai was more or less non-existent, and the Jazz didn't get much coming in off the bench outside of Chris Dunn. So they have to have everybody play well.
Yeah, and especially, you know, tonight, really, it would have taken a couple of more, you know, taken just one or two more guys. But yeah, we know the story. But that's what makes you it's maddening with basketball. You have two games that are just off the chain stellar, and then you got to show up the next night and you got to do it again, and everybody has to do it again. And so that's the challenge each and every night, is that consistency.
They did get to Arby's, however. We did score big with Arby's tonight. They got past 111. That means a free Arby's roast beef sandwich in the Jazz app for you tomorrow.
I'm loading it now.
Good news, Jamil. Arby's again for lunch tomorrow. We got the thumbs up from Jamil. We love that promotion. So they coach predicted they'd get to roast beef tonight, and they certainly did. Let's check now with the Chick-fil-A foul shot review of the game. Download a whole new way to Chick-fil-A. Earn rewards with the Chick-fil-A One app. The Jazz from the line tonight, Coach Lacombe, were 26 of 36. The Blazers are 24 of 30. Wow, a lot of foul shots tonight. Amazing. Markkanen was 8 of 9. 8 of his 40 points came at the line. Olynyk was 8 of 8. But the Blazers, and Coach Hardy mentioned this during his postgame, 12 of 14 at the line for Damian Lillard. As a team, they were 24 of 30. So, you know, we saw this from Karl Malone for years, right? You know, you're going to get 30 a night, whether you shoot well or not, because you're going to go to the line a dozen times. I mean, that helps it extraordinarily.
Fills in the gaps.
It does fill in the gaps, and it did for Damian. He didn't shoot the ball great tonight. 8 of 19, 2 of 10 from 3. But if you make 12 at the line, you're going to get your 30 points.
So you're listening to your kid. You're driving home. You're listening. You can't just be a set shooter. You can't just be a three-point shooter, because you could go for 2 for 10, and that's not going to go over well. So you got to find those points somewhere else. Dame got to the line, found ways to get more, get to the line, and he 12, right? 12 of 14 from the line. So it's the way you do it.
Man, he's turned into a crafty veteran. He's one of those guys, and he's still extraordinarily athletic, so don't get me wrong, but as he's aged a little bit, now he's, 32, and maybe he's not one of the, you know, top 10 most athletic guys in the league anymore, that he's just evolved. He's a cerebral player, uses his body, gets to the line, does all those things.
Yeah, he's a joy to watch, always has been, and love that his tie is to Utah.
All right, let's go down to the locker room now and hear from Walker Kessler.
All night tonight, I guess, to what do you attribute that?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, Coach is right. You know, I can't speak for my teammates, but, you know, for me, you know, obviously I didn't play as well as I usually do on the defensive end. In that zone, it's tough to blitz a guard and be able to, you know, cover backside and that role man. But, you know, it's an excuse. So for me personally, you know, it was a tough challenge. You know, I'm looking forward to playing against Dame again, to work on that. But yeah, you know, just tough.
What was the issue in terms of allowing the ball into the middle of the floor?
Mm-hmm. You know, when you have such a good, you know, off the dribble shooter like Dame, you know, like we're told to blitz the screen, which is the right, you know, right call. It's tough because that roll man has a, you know, catches the ball in that high post and he has like a downhill lane. So it's kind of like, you know, jabbing at that. Meanwhile, you know, having that backside guy cutting baseline. So it, you know, it's tough, but you know, I didn't do as well as I usually do, but you know, it's a long year, and you know, trying to stay positive and take it as a learning opportunity.
We've been talking about you guys' ability to seemingly like be in every game, right? Yeah. Like whether you're down and coming back or you're up and lose the lead and then rally back from that. Like, it's an admirable trait, but it seems like it also can have the ability to catch up to you and like sap energy. Is that the case on a night like tonight?
You know, I don't necessarily think it's a, you know, a sapping of energy or anything like that. You know, we compete every night. You know, some nights you're not going to have it. You know, it's natural. It's a long season. Like I said, 482 games. So we can't be, you know, perfect every game. But, you know, this one's definitely disappointing.
How much did the troubles with turnovers kind of compound being a step slower this
night? Yeah, you know, the more turnovers you have, the more fatigue you get trying to run back and build up for them. So, I mean, I guess you can definitely attribute that.
As to what do you attribute the extra turnovers to? Because it felt like you guys had kind of taken a step in the right direction in that regard in recent games.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's anything specific. I just think it just wasn't our night.
That is Walker Kessler from the locker room. And Walker tonight, not one of his better nights. Of course, we're used to on these post-game shows, Coach, talking about how good Walker Kessler has been. He did have three blocks tonight, but 8 points on 4 of 6 shooting and 5 rebounds. And maybe that 5-rebound number is the one that jumps off the page just because he's been rebounding so well lately.
Yeah, he sounded a little bit discouraged.
He did.
Total difference from the other night where he was joking and... And that's the way it goes. You have ups, you have downs, you play through them. And I think that that's what I've been most impressed with mixed results. The Jazz always ready to go and have a tough night, still be able to go.
Jazz fall tonight, 127-115 to the Blazers. We'll have more player sound for you coming up next. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own at MySubaruIs.com. More coming up next. You are listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Wow! The outcome is in the books. Let's get to the reaction. Hear from the coaches, the players, as well as the coach, Tim Lacombe. It's the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show. Here's Jake Scott.
Jazz postgame, Jake Scott, coach Tim Lacombe. Postgame brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share at MarkMillerSubaru.com. Jazz fall to the Blazers tonight, 127-115. We'll let you hear from more players coming up here momentarily as they are made available. But the story for the Jazz tonight, Lauri Markkanen, 40 points, 12 rebounds. But he did get beat up a little bit, Coach Lacombe. We heard Coach Hardy address it, and they're going to he said he was fine, wanted to play, did continue to play. But they're going to see what happens when, you know, kind of the adrenaline wears off and gets the chance to see what's going on. But obviously he was favoring his left wrist, and you and I both thought he hit his head on that flagrant foul in the fourth.
Yeah, I thought he reached back because he'd hit it. It's you never want to see that, but I thought all three of them tonight were like, you know, took your breath away. So hopefully he's okay. He's definitely gonna feel it. You know, I fell down the stairs this week with my grandkid. I feel it. He'll feel it.
Well, fell down the stairs. Weren't you kind of like sledding down
ride.
The stairs?
Yeah. I didn't want to sound too like too much of a pushover.
Well, I'll tell you what. If they're going to make a run at the playoffs or at the play-in, his health is going to matter.
Yeah, they need him.
Yeah, they sure do. Speaking of Lauri Markkanen, let's get back downstairs and hear from him at the podium.
Lauri, tonight we saw you... You know, flexing your hand and kind of messing with that left hand. I know that it's been bothering you for a while. Is there any fear that that would make you miss time?
I don't know. that much I can tell you. The x-ray was good, clean. So I don't know more about it yet, but we'll see how it feels tomorrow and go from there. But, yeah, like you said, it's been just getting hit for... month, whatever. So just seeing what you can play through, and I think still, even though my wrist is hurting, I can do other things. And you don't really, once you get going, you don't really think about it, but then obviously dead balls and stuff, it just happens to hit again. But yeah, I mean, We'll see.
What's the, you know, when you guys are 72 games through a season, through an 82-game season, kind of playing almost every night, what's the physical toll like on your body, and how do you guys deal with that, you know, manage pain, injury management-wise, you know, as the games keep coming?
I've always said I don't think you feel 100% by the, like, first day of training camp. After that, you're not 100% during the season. There's stuff you can play through, and so at this point of the year, it's just kind of, obviously, we're all working hard, but we got to be smart what we're doing at the facility on our days off, and we need to get working and learn from this game and prepare for the next one, but at the same time, I'm sure it's going to be a lot of film work and stuff, because guys are getting taking a beating a little bit in the game, so you just got to do whatever you can at the facility, try to get ready for the next one, but a lot of mental preparing and learning, I'm sure, but you kind of learn how to treat your body, what works and whatnot, and so.
Do you feel like that affected you at all in the fourth quarter?
I don't think so. Maybe. I mean, I definitely didn't want to land on it again. I felt like 1-3 at the corner I missed. It was just, I could have drained it, but I felt like I had to look for a shot, and maybe I settled for that one. But other than that, I don't think it did.
The defense tonight, you know, you guys helped versus Jason Tatum in Boston, and it worked pretty well. And it's Lillard tonight, less so. Kind of what was the biggest difference in your mind between those two performances?
Yeah, they had a lot of points in the paint. We were trying to get it out of his hands. He did give it up pretty early, and then we were kind of in rotation, and obviously sometimes he ends up getting it back, and definitely got to do a better job of protecting the paint, and we did again from three. I don't think they, what did they shoot, 31%, so it's not, and I mean they made 13-3, so that's pretty good for us, but we got to protect the paint. There's, especially again, you play zone, there's some fast three balls that you're going to give up, but and they're going to make some there, obviously, NBA players, so can't get down on ourselves on those, but I think just them driving and getting us in the rotation, so that kind of thing.
All right.
Done.
Thanks,
thank you.
Oh, man.
Lowry Markkanen, excuse me, big game from him, 40 points, 12 rebounds. And what did you think about what he had to say right there, Coach Lacom?
Yeah, it's true. You know, in that zone particularly, there are things in every defense you're going to give up, and you'll be okay giving up. And man-to-man, we've seen, obviously, they don't want to give up threes. They don't want to foul. And they don't want to give up anything in the paint. So the zone, the same type of deal, there's going to be shots you give up, but they can't be at the rim. And I think those direct line drives and the easy stuff at the rim tonight was really costly.
Do you think we'll see him on Friday?
My vote would be no, but man, he took some hard falls. Like he'll feel
he
that,
did.
And it's, you know, one day in between. So we'll see. I mean, I know he's really tough, but the wrist thing's the most concerning to me. Like he couldn't even get help getting up. So I just want to make sure.
We heard David talk about it after the flagrant. He thought they'd have Lowry take the free throws and have somebody waiting right there by the scorer's table and go ahead and pull him out. Well, we saw the flagrant. You and I both said, okay, well, we've seen the last of Lowry tonight, and that wasn't the case. And you know, he obviously is a competitor and he wants to play. I'm sure, I don't know the inner workings of this sort of thing with the Jazz, but I'm sure if he wasn't a competitor and didn't care about playing and winning, that he probably would have the option to shut it down if he really wanted to. So probably says a lot about him as a player.
No, that's one of the things I think I take from this season. We've talked about his efficiency and how tough a matchup he is. But what's really won me over from day one is his toughness. He is a far tougher kid than I then translated on film, watching him at Arizona and watching him in his early years in the league. That's a piece. Like, he plays, and he plays through a lot of stuff, and he's tough. He knows the score. He's competitive. And so, you know, he'll play if he can, I'm sure. But, again, Jazz always do a great job of just protecting him.
And really, that is – that needs to be the priority, and I'm sure it is within the franchise. I'm sure there are a lot of fans out there would love to see him make a play-in or make the playoffs, you know, get that extra basketball. But long-term health is far more important, and that's the reason I think they're being careful with Jordan Clarkson and Colin Sexton. And in Jordan's case, by the way, you know, he's already proven a lot this year, and he's going into free agency. I'm sure the Jazz will be a bidder for his services next year, and I'd like to see him healthy. But, you know, for his sake, you know, going into free agency, it would not be great to push an injury or heaven forbid, you know, suffer a more severe one when the games aren't as important.
Yeah, so it's, you know, hey, look, the tons of money invested in these guys and the best care you can get, certainly – a great staff, medical staff, so they'll do all that they need to do, and we'll see him if he can play. I do believe that if he can play, he'll play. But my guess is three times going to the floor and the wrist being concerned.
The wrist is the one, right? Yeah.
All the other stuff.
I think you're totally right about that. All right, the Jazz fall tonight to the Blazers by the count of 127 to 115. Coming up next, we'll put a wrap on this one, and we'll get you ready for Friday night showdown with the Bucks. Postgame is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse, and each has a unique story to share. Read some, share your own. MySubaruIs.com. More coming up next. You are listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
Running up. Blocked it.
The final box score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh, my!
Puts his shoulder and done. Round ball robbery. Outlet to Scott Anderson. Lobs Mark it in one hand. Catch. Full flight. And packs it. My goodness. He was given rights to take off. He went high in the air. He grabbed it with right hand while elevating. Went to cruising altitude and packed it. Flight Markkanen is airborne. The finisher.
That is our dude, David Locke, and that is your Play of the Game. Brought to you by Larry H. Miller Dealerships for service, sales, and selection. LHMauto.com. Driven by you. Jazz ball tonight. To the Blazers, 127 to 115 postgame. Brought to you by our friends at Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share markmillersubaru.com. Man, he's had some good dunks this year.
That was spectacular. He went up high to get that, and then he kind of drug it. And then, as David said, packed it!
Did you know that he brought the – well, actually, so Will Hardy, you know, talked about Lowry's physical game, and he was talking about his injuries, actually. But did you know that Lowry was even close to this kind of physical player before he got here?
No, I didn't. That's the piece that surprises me the most. Because he'll mix it up, throw his body around.
And he's no beanpole.
No.
Like, not even close. You know what I mean? I mean,
substance.
He has a lot of substance, and he's – I don't know. These are such cliches, right? But he's way tougher than I thought.
Absolutely. If that's the one thing, if you were to quiz me, what's the thing that stands out to the most to you? I knew he could score. I didn't know he was as efficient. You know, that's the part. And the other thing that's amazing about him, you don't have to run sets for him. He finds things, right? He knows the right cut from the 45 or back cuts from the baseline. He's always in and around those plays, but you don't have to run stuff for him. But it's his toughness, man. That's the part that has set him apart. And, you know, he's had nights where he's been knocked around pretty good and, you know, shows back up and does it again.
He's a better defender than I thought he would be, too.
Totally agree with that.
And, we try to be realistic on this show. I don't think he's going to make NBA all defense anytime soon. But he's a much better he's not a net negative on the defensive side of the ball or really even close.
What he's really learned to do well is use his length. You know, he gets those matchups with a smaller guy, and obviously the smaller guy's advantage, the wing player's advantage, is to be able to kind of maneuver around Lowry. But he's been able to give enough space where he can kind of get a head start to cut a guy off, but still has the length of – you know, the offensive player wants to step back, or he certainly is long enough to recover and challenge a shot. So I like the way he's using his length for to his advantage.
Can't say enough about him tonight because he was amazing tonight, 40 and 12. But the Jazz needed a little bit more from the supporting cast. If you're just joining us, a little rundown of the stats. Jazz got another nice game from Chris Dunn off the bench. In 23 minutes, he had 15 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. But Kelly Olynyk had 12. Talen Horton Tucker had 11. And just not a whole lot from there. Ochai was so good against the Kings. He was not great tonight. 7 points on 2 of 7 shooting. And Walker Kessler was not as impactful as we've become accustomed to. 8 points, 5 boards, and 3 blocks from him. On the other side, if you want to know why Portland won, their whole team played well for the most part. I'm sure Thibault would disagree, as he probably didn't have the impact he was looking for with only 6 points. But the other 4 starters for the Blazers had over 20 points. Lillard had 30. Sharp had 24. Watford with 21. Nurkic with 20. And nice games from Reddish and Knox coming in off the bench with 11 and 10 points respectively. So this is one of those games where the Jazz had one player who played well, and the Blazers had pretty much everybody who played well.
Yeah, Dame got a ton of support, and that's what he needed. Whereas it was the Boston-Sacramento games, it was contributions from everywhere. And tonight, everybody, you know, it was one of those nights where guys had a difficult time. I think Chris Dunn got a little bit on a roll there and tried to get the Jazz some momentum coming back. But, you know, outside of Lowry, everybody else just struggled. They struggled with, you know, different facets of the game, but particularly scoring.
Man, sure like that Chris Dunn. Cannot believe. Well, I can't believe, actually. We talked to Mike a little bit about this. Some guys just need another chance, the right fit, whatever. But I can't believe he has not had an NBA home until the Jazz picked him up on a couple of 10-day deals. I mean, DJ, we were talking to DJ, and he actually asked Will Hardy about this in the post game up here in the studio. But if he can keep his shooting where it is now, or even a slightly tick below, because he shot the ball so incredibly well, but if he can keep his shooting where it's at, then he's not only going to be an NBA player, he's going to be an effective rotational NBA player.
Yeah, and that's, again, you can't lose sight of all that. That's really the key to understanding what that is. So it's we know it's a journey. The whole season, as we talked about in the pre, these games have all been really good. And tonight, you don't have your legs and energy every night, and you hope that maybe you can withstand it with some good shooting. Tonight, nothing really. And then those energy plays that they've really counted on, you know, for extra possessions and things to get a lift, just weren't happening for them tonight.
All right, Coach, let's get a couple final thoughts from you on this one before we turn the page.
Well, I'm trying to picture you with a ukulele and a grass skirt, because you are leaving me tomorrow. So
I will miss the next couple of games. Our guy JP is going to be nice enough to send him for me.
I know it's going to be tough, you know, but you got to go support the wife through this in Hawaii and make sure that this event goes well.
It's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
And my support, I'm going to be by the pool with a beverage in hand. Yeah, maybe on the golf course.
Okay. Well, we'll hold down the fort.
I appreciate it.
Final thoughts, really, to me, a little bit surprised, but not really surprised. It's kind of how the nature of the NBA season goes. Jazz have a quick turnaround, play arguably the best team in the league, the team that I think we all kind of feel like deep down is going to probably the favorite to win in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So
they're my favorite.
Yeah, me too.
They're really good.
You like Texas too in the NCAA. I'll keep watching that for you.
Hey, I hope so. I'm going to watch a few of those games while I'm out of town as well.
Cool. We'll have a blast.
All right. We want to say a big thanks to everybody who had a role in the broadcast tonight. Thanks to Locke and Boone doing a great job calling all of the action as always. We want to say thanks to Mike Smith for dropping by during the pregame show. Thanks to our broadcast assistants. Appreciate their fine work. Thanks to Jamil Hawkins, executive producer of the Jazz broadcast. Thanks to Mark Miller Subaru, the title sponsor of the postgame show and the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some and share your own. MySubaruIs.com. It's the Jazz fall tonight, 127-115 to the Blazers. Up next, as Coach mentioned, the Jazz will take on the Bucks on Friday night. Tip-off will be at 7. Pre-game begins at 6. You have been listening to Utah Jazz Basketball.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.